Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 7. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
You could never save yourself. There's nothing you could do. You would fail because you're broken spiritually. And God said, because you're so crippled, spiritually speaking, having strength to do what you want, but having no strength to do what you ought, I interposed my grace. I gave you the riches and credit of my Son, and I carried you all the way. It's awesome. It's complete. It's total. It is finished. Paid in full. It's a gift. It had to be. You couldn't earn it. You don't deserve it. He died for you. Hell is no longer an issue. And the Bible says, glory, honor, and power, dunamis, showing that He alone could have done this, and might, which is authority, it says, be unto our God. And literally take that word be there and you can think in terms, it's added, it's a little italicized word. Belong to our God is what they're saying. They pick up the refrain of these multitude of people. And then one of the elders leans over. You know, it's the church, these elders. And one of the elders leans over and says, what are these that are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? Verse 14 says, sir, you know. And he said to them, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. What you have to understand is that God's salvation has always been the same. Old Testament saints got saved, if you will, on credit. When they saw the sacrificial system in lambs and bulls and goats and sheep and doves and blood being shed, they had to see beyond it and realize God Himself would have to somehow provide a perfect sacrifice. Those who saw beyond, Bible says Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced. He got it. Well, we talk about David, who was a man after God's own heart. He had messed up so bad that the law just condemned, death, death, death. And yet he found forgiveness because he was a man after God's own heart. He had seen behind the sacrifices and seen beyond it and saw that God had to provide something because we were shapen in iniquity and in sin our mothers conceived us. And he saw beyond all of the pageantry of the temple worship and he saw the blood. Beloved, he remembered that when the death angel came over Egypt, that he said that when I see the blood, I will pass over you. They washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. The only thing that saves is Christ shedding His blood for your sins. Can I say it clearer? It's all God wants you to know. You cannot save yourself. You deserve to be damned forever. Your sin is mounted up upon your back and it keeps mounting up every day. If you don't know God, you're getting further and further from shore. And God loves you so much that He screams to your heart, the blood, the blood. If you'll just take my Son at His word and believe that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life and understand that He shed His blood in your behalf. It is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, the Bible says. And it's the same right here. They washed their robes white in the blood. And when somebody came up to them with a sword and a guillotine and they said, renounce Him or die, they stood up and said, we will not be moved. He died for me. And I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I shall see Him in the latter day. Beloved, this is their cry. And this elder tells them that they washed their robes in verse 14 in the blood of the Lamb. And the Bible says in verse 15 that therefore are they before the throne of God, serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell with them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall sunlight upon them nor heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto fountains of living waters. And God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes. You want to know a really neat thing about their connectivity? The Bible says the old things were written for our examples and our learning. Remember that? All the Old Testament things. Where do we see these guys in the Old Testament? Well, you remember Joshua. He's on the march. You remember how he came into town, boy, and he went around that city of Jericho 7 times, and that whole city just fell down flat. And God was saying in no uncertain terms, as He split the Jordan River, brought them into the land, brought them around Jericho, brought it down, began to wreak victory after victory after victory. Y'all's time is up! These people answer to them. They see the anarchy. They see the Antichrist. They see all of the wickedness and death. And they are getting a clue, like the Gibeonites in Joshua chapter 9 got a clue. They said, you know what? I don't know what we can do. I don't know how we're going to figure this thing out. They're on the move and we're going to die. We're all going to die. I'll tell you what, let's get some old beat up clothes and get some moldy bread and crusty bread, and we'll go pretend we come from a long way away, and we'll say, hey, let's make an agreement with you. We want to make a treaty. We heard about the Lord your God. And those guys did, and they fooled Joshua, and he made an agreement. And they were like this is the fiery furnace redemption going on here. These are the guys who came out, Nethinim, they became called later. The word Nethinim means given, fastened to. You see, what happened to Gibeonites was that they actually got taken care of by Joshua. He made this agreement, and what ends up happening is that the rest of the country says, we got to whoop up on them because they've become traitors. Joshua comes in, he wipes out all those other armies, and he says, but because you have fooled us, you will now be bearers of water and hewers of wood to our God. These guys were put to forced labor in the temple ministry and became infatuated, deliberately in love with Jehovah God, like nobody in Israel even was. And that's what these guys are. These are the multitude who are coming out of the Great Tribulation. And the Bible says that they're going to be with the Lord wherever He goes. Now picture this. When a king goes somewhere, he usually takes his entourage, right? Well, at this point, they're all kind of mounting up and they're loading up heaven and they're getting killed left and right and they're just kind of filling up the fold. All these people are dying. But when the Lord comes, He's coming back with the armies in heaven. We're going to be with Him, but they're going to be with Him. When He sets up His kingdom, He's going to have an entourage. And that entourage is not us, it's going to be them. You and I, we get to live in the heavenly Jerusalem. That's our home. These guys, they go with Jesus when He goes and sits in His throne with David as a co-regent in Jerusalem, which is literally, physically going to happen. Jesus, King Jesus, ruling with a rod of iron, that's where we're going. Well, they're going to be always walking around saying, salvation belongs to our God. And everybody's going to say, it must. Look at them. Those guys were there. And now they're here again. They're back. And their testimony is irrefutable. He is the God of heaven. He is the Savior of the world. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And they're going to go everywhere with Him. And the Bible says He's going to go out, and they're going to go out, and He's going to come in. And the Bible says of them that they're not going to hurt, they're not going to hunger anymore. They're not going to thirst anymore. The sun's not going to light on them, nor any heat. You see, this is a picture of all the plagues that these guys are going to endure. People who are left behind are going to see the cataclysm of the tribulation, the great tribulation, where the sun is going to be intensified in its heat. People will be scorched by the sun. There's not going to be, there's a third of the world is going to be burned up, a third of the vegetation, a third of the waters is going to be made poison. These guys are going to be thirsty. They're going to be having wept in their corner. They're going to be back in some church that's abandoned, it's all smoky, and they're going to be sitting there just weeping and say, oh God, I'm so sorry, I didn't get it when I was there, but I get it now. Give me strength to live for you. Give me strength to die for you. And you know what? He does. He does. And they say, salvation belongs to our God. And all the angels fold their wings, fall down and say, yeah! Amen. Beloved, this stuff is going to happen. This is the word of Almighty God. And He says it is true. It is yes. It is amen. And we're going to be there. How exciting is that? What a great heritage we have. Would to God we would live for it and love for it and walk with Him and show others that we love Him, because He alone is worthy of our allegiance. He alone is worthy of our love and affection and devotion. It is cranking up down here, folks. There are the sealed who will be there because God sows hope. Israel gets their day and they get credit for winning a multitude. The multitude come and they get to go with Him forever. I don't know where you are today, but if His Spirit does not bear witness with your spirit, you're His child, then you need to get back on your face and pray through. Say, I am not letting you go till you bless me like Jacob did. Remember that? Not letting you go till you bless me. You just stay with Him. Because He says, he that comes must believe that I am, and I'm a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. Beloved, are you saved today? God did not have you by accident here. Would you bow with me for a moment? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.
just for a moment. These are exciting passages. God is a God who loves to save. He remembers mercy in the midst of judgment, the Bible tells us. Beloved, He loves you. He loves you so much He gave His Son for you. He loves you so much that He makes out of you something that never could have been. You are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And He who began a good work will perfect it unto the day of Christ. He will. He never fails. Are you cooperating with Him today? Have you been born again? This morning, if you're not sure you're saved, but you're concerned about it, I really, really beg you. I won't call your name, but I'd like to pray for you. Would you be honest enough this morning to say, Pastor, I am not sure that I am saved, and I'm concerned about it. Would you let me pray for you? Just slip up your hand and put it right back down. I'm not sure. Up and down, just up and down, real quick. I won't call your name. I just want to pray for you. Question mark in your heart. Not sure. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Pastor, God knows my heart. I'm His child, but I've not been willing to really step into this fray that we are in now. I've not been manifesting the presence of God in my life. I've not been talking Him up. I've not been saying, like these guys so sold out said, salvation belongs to our God. I've not been really representing in the day to day. I've been content to cruise and hope for the Lord to come, but I've not been realizing He's given me days for a reason. And this morning God spoke to you and you'd say, Pastor, pray for me. I just want to give my heart back to God. I want to put it back in His hand. I want to chase Him. I want to know Him. God bless you. God bless you. Up and down. God bless you. God bless you. God knows your heart. God bless you. You'd say, pray for me. God sees your hand and He knows your heart more importantly. You want to get back in the fray. You realize that if you suffer with Christ, you'll reign with Him. You've been laying down, sleeping. Anybody else, just slip it up. Put it right back down. God bless you. Would you stand with me for prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for Your Word, and that really when we read these passages, we know it is who You are, that it's just like You, Father, to save, to care, to seek, to make a way when no way seems possible, knowing that with man things are impossible, with You all things are possible. And Father, I pray those of us who find ourselves having drifted and stumbled and Father, gotten our garments dirty, that Father, You've given us a way home, that You've told us that if we confess our sin, You are faithful and just to forgive it. Lord, let us never give up on You or Your Word. Help us to lean in and chase Your truth so that it might be our very own. I pray, Father, that every opportunity we have to share about our faith, we would take. And every opportunity we have to nurture our faith, we would jump on it. Father, that we would become lion-hearted Christians for Your glory. We want to look like our Lord Jesus. We want to look like our Father. And those who raise their hands and say, you know, I need to just get in the fray, I pray You'd show them ways and means and opportunities this week, indeed this week, that they might share their faith with others. And that they might say with those tribulation saints, salvation belongs to our God. And I pray, Father, for those this morning who did not raise their hands saying, I know I need to be saved. And I know that in their hearts they must feel that pulling, because You are a God who said Your Word won't return void. That You've sent Your Spirit into the world to convict us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. We've heard of all of that this morning. And I pray that as Your Spirit faithfully knocks on the door of their hearts, that they'll not turn, that they'll not let darkness break forth in their hearts, but that they will run to the light before it's everlastingly too late. These are Your moments, Father. Seal to our hearts what You've said to us each individually. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming, and we'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.